Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, God, that we put aside to come to you, Lord, to worship you, to glorify you and praise you, Lord. And God, we give you all glory today, and we pray, God, that you'll touch this service, Lord, and touch your word, Lord, that goes to the depth of our hearts here in this service today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing as we read the word of God this morning. Amen. We have a really good lesson today. I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do with it, but like many times you start getting into things and it's got a lot of meat in it. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. Only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Verse 30, having the same conflict which you saw in me, now here to be in me. You may be seated. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. I said something I was up here about 2 weeks ago, I think, and a statement I found in one of the commentaries. I'm going to read it again because it fits what I have today. They said in there, they said, Christians today lack of transparent sincerity. That means they're no visible. God is not visible in them. An absolute correspondence between an inward fact and an outward expression. Amen. And in that, you know, I'm made up of body, soul, and spirit. Amen. But my soul is a conscience. It's a life. And once God takes possession of this, once God comes in and dwells within me, amen, he makes this life different. And this life begins to overcome the flesh. The Bible said the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's the thing that we wrestle with in this life, is to take control of this flesh. At one time, it had very, very much control of me. Amen. But when God came in, when the Holy Ghost came in, amen, I couldn't sin like I used to. Amen. There was a power within me that was leading me away from that life. I remember when I first came into church, I come into the Trinity Church. And we come into it, it had apostolic ways, you know. We believed pretty much the way they did. And when that church dissolved, it was just a new church work, and it didn't make it. Well, I was out looking for that same church. That's all I knew. I looked with my eye. And we found that, and that's a long story about how I went to that. I'd use the whole time up telling that, so I won't tell it. But anyway, we come to God that way by what I saw in other people. And that led me into the oneness movement. But then when I got into the oneness movement, they began to bring something new to me that I'd heard of it. Matter of fact, I'd heard I should avoid these people. But I found they had so much truth. So you can have everything else. Without truth, you don't have anything. It's got to come by truth first. It always has in the Bible and always will. Amen. But you know that the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Amen. And when I was a sinner before, I'd go out and paint the town red and brag about how I was going to do it the next time. But when the Spirit of God came in, when you sinned, it would just something come upon you and that would just grab your heart and squeeze it. Because there was you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. But you know, sometimes we treat the Bible today like it's obsolete. It's just old stuff, you know, it don't fit today. But I got to read in our lesson today, and I'll get right into it. Our focus verse was Philippians 1 and 27. It says, only let your conversations be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. that whether I come and see or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast, one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now only let your conversations be as is suitable to the gospel of Christ. Now we listen to that in our English language. We means we just got to be careful how you talk. But that's not what that means. That means your way of life. Amen. In the Greek, that's what it means. I had someone tell me one time, the only thing you need to study the Bible with is a Webster's Dictionary and a Bible. And I have respect for the man that said that, and I understand that. You know, a lot of people do that, but I want to show you something. Now, conversation, I went to the Webster's Dictionary, and it said oral exchange of sentiment, opinions, ideals, etc., etc. Then it had a second one. And before that second one, it put obsolete. And what the second was that they called obsolete was conduct and behavior. That's what it used to mean, but it's been replaced by something else. That's what obsolete means. It means outdated, replaced with something new. So you will never get what that means, and they wrote it down here in our lesson today. The same thing. They said the key to understanding our status as believers is contained in the definition of the word conversation. In Philippians 1 and 27, when Paul said, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, he was not referring to our words, but to our walk. Although our common usage, the word conversation has come to mean verbal communication between people, it has a different meaning in Greek. It is translated from Greek word meaning to behave or conduct yourself in your manner in a way that is suitable to the gospel. And sometimes that people, when you will begin talking to them about these things, because our lesson today is about living the faith. And our focus verse was, the faith we possess must be visible in the life we live. Now you bring these things up to the world, and the first thing they'll say, well, who do you think you are? Are you perfect? When they ask me if I'm perfect, I go, yeah, I'm perfect. And no, I'm not. They said, well, come on, either you are or you ain't. But I am. They say that can't be. You're either you are perfect or you are not. I say, that's right. Sound like we're going who's on first and what's on second, don't it? But we have a positional sanctification in Christ Jesus. And we have a practical sanctification that I'm still working on. I'm still working on this man. So yes, I'm perfect. I've been made perfect in Christ Jesus. I took on his righteousness. Amen. But I still, because of my soul and my life that has been filled with the Holy Ghost, there's a desire, there's a move against the flesh. And some people say, well, what's the use if you can never perfect this flesh? It's because of the spirit that is within you that's warring against your members. Amen. The spirit that's within us is perfect. And it's wanting to perfect this outside man. But Paul, as good as he was, he said, O wretched man that I am, who can save me from this untoward generation but Jesus Christ? So see, you have to be in the truth before you can ever do anything else. So some say, well, it's obsolete. But when sincerity comes along, your sincerity is revealed by your conduct and manner of life, by your actions. You can hear someone say about someone that's not very good at what they're doing. You say, well, they sure are sincere, though. They sure are trying. And that's what we need to be in Christ. We need to be trying. We need to be striving for that perfection. Amen. But they'll say sometimes, they'll say, well, Jesus didn't say this, or Jesus didn't say that. Jesus came to bring salvation. But if you'll read the gospel, you'll find all of the other things that was written in that the apostles brought, you'll find them right in that.
Jesus, he brought perfection. He came up on the Sermon on the Mount. Words of perfection came out of Jesus Christ. And those are the things we are to strive for. And some people that never get anywhere in life, they look at everything as an impossibility. So they just don't try. They say, I can't make it anyway. No, but you can get halfway there. That's why you got to look at things. I'm gonna be like Paul. I'm going to strive. Amen. I'm going to press toward the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to press toward that. And if we have the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, that's what it's going to do. Living the faith. That's what our lesson's about today. It's a UPC paper. And I believe in the UPC. I believe they're a good organization. Amen. I don't believe in every organization. Now, some people used to preach against organizations because once they organize and once they cut it off and say, this is what we believe, you couldn't get back in with a team of horses and make them believe anything different. That's the bad thing about organization. But we have to always be open to the Bible. And they won't be open to it because it's not in their writings. It's not what they believe. So they won't open that door to anything else, even though Christ is sitting outside the door knocking. But he can't get back in. So when I came to the truth in God, the thing that made me stay, the things that made me put up with any kind of nonsense or anything else, the thing that made me stay in, not every apostolic suited me. Not every, sometimes people just didn't suit me. But the truth did. And the church in a whole is good. Amen. And it's got the truth. And you better have the truth or you're wasting your time. Now, that you might find that in Brother Kellum first, second. But that's what I believe because I find that in the Word of God. But I was raised up with parents that, amen, that didn't believe, they believed. They just didn't believe in serving. Or they believed in serving, but they just never would get around to it. So it said here in the study today, it said, there was a study found that children's current behavior was best predicted by parental teaching. However, how children planned to behave when they were adults was best predicted by what their parents practiced. My dad, he either had a cigarette in his mouth or a chaw tobacco, one of the two. And they scolded us kids to even think about touching it. Well, that was good. I was scared of them, but when he wasn't looking, I was touching it. And that's what I got hooked on because I went by their practices. If they were sincere about what they were saying, they wouldn't be doing it. So I never took them seriously. And the crowd, my dad didn't drink. I seen him try to drink one beer one time and he just set it back down. He wasn't a drinker. But he did all the other things. And then, so being that type of person, I got into the wrong crowd. I got into the crowd, you know, a bird of a feather will flock together. I got into the crowd that suited me. Amen. So it's important to be in the right crowd. It's important to be in the right church with the right teaching. Amen. Because what you're going to hear after you get into the church and the right teaching, you're going to hear about the word to live by. And that's another thing that we got to come into. That's part of it. Amen. I believe that what living the faith is, I believe is a call to holiness. That's all it is. Once you start laying down the things of the flesh, it's you're walking on your way to holiness. And Paul accused some in the church as being babes in Christ. He said, "You're still drinking milk, and you should be teaching, but yet you have need of teaching." It's not a church that we stand still in. It's a church that we move forward. Amen. I'm not perfect yet. except in one way. But I'm not perfect. But you know what? I'm a long ways from that feller I used to be. And I'll show you today, you're not perfect in this flesh, and you'll never perfect this flesh because of what's in you, in your soul and in your spirit, that Holy Ghost dwells. It drives you in that direction. See, the soul can take charge of the body if it wants to. But if it don't want to, he'll let the flesh have its way. But when you have a Holy Ghost there leading you and guiding you into all truth, amen, it's leading you in that direction too. Today we find that they outdated the Old Testament first. Now they're outdating the New Testament. Now they ain't nothing goes but Jesus Christ, and now they're beginning to blaspheme him. How much further do we go? How much further can we go? But we know that if we're in God, amen, there's something inside of us pressing on, causing us to press on to that high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when the Old Testament, they did away with that. In a sense, the Old Testament is obsolete, but it's not done away with, because Jesus didn't come to destroy that. He came and fulfilled it. It's not destroyed, it's fulfilled in Christ Jesus. We have to understand that. But there's a call to holiness. And there's different places where people are at. But the important thing is that you keep stepping up. 1 Peter 1 and 15. As he is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Manner of conversation? Well, just watch how you talk. No. As he is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conduct. All manner of conduct, all manner of way of life. Our focus verse was, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, you'll still be the same way. Philippians 3 and 14. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, when I first came to the apostolic movement out of the Trinity, I didn't take what they told me at face value. I looked and seen. I mean, I do that. That's just something I do. I don't take nobody's word for it. I look and see. If you don't agree, look and see. See if what is said is right. It's like it was in Webster's Dictionary. Maybe I obsoleted some of it. Maybe I said it's not for us today, so I just obsolete it. This is a modern day. This is a sinful day. Amen. You got Hollywood, the people that, they're the same people that said, well, just believe in Jesus Christ and go about your business. But if you have God's Spirit dwelling within, you can't go about your business. Your business become his business. But we understand, amen, that we have a soul, we have a life. And this body is going to go back into the dust from which it came. But this life, I'm the one controlling what I'm doing right now. This is my life, my soul doing this. Amen, and it's the Spirit within me, amen, that directs my path and helps me to find out the truth and the real things. Brother Davis, I said, said something last time he was up here. He said, he don't know how far we are from where God wants us to be. Let me read something to you. Philippians 3 and 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now where Paul is here today, Paul is still struggling with the flesh. He's right when these writings were, he was in prison. He wasn't very far from his death. If his works was going to save him, he better get in a hurry really quick. Amen. But it's his flesh that he's talking about. Amen. I have my position in Jesus Christ. Amen. I am made perfect through him. I take on his righteousness, having none of my own. Now, that don't relieve you from all responsibilities, amen, in your life. We can't go by every whim that the flesh comes up with. Amen. You got to check the Word of God. See if you're really serious, just check the Word of God and see what it says. Because that's our guide. That's our light. That's what we go by. Amen. So Paul was still striving. He was still trying to attain that which by he is attained, or apprehend that which by he is apprehended. He is still struggling with that. But we make things obsolete. They was doing that back in Jesus' day, and he said they do many of them. Mark, I believe it's Mark 7 and 13. I might have put Matthew 7 and 13 back there. But it's Mark. Okay. Making the word of God to none effect through your traditions, when you have delivered and many such like things you do. Making the word of God to none effect. When you take all of these things upon yourself, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do my way. You know what you've done? You've made everything else obsolete. You said, this is the way God wanted. There's people from Hollywood saying now, it's the will of God that we can destroy our babies at birth. And you know what? That's the preaching people are listening to. That's when they say, well, I can't be perfect, so why not? Why do anything? Because the spirit that within you is pushing you that way. And the only way that you not go is that you reject it, and then you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. The focus thought, the faith we possess must be visible in the life we live. This is a new NIV, and I like the way Brother Wells does it. He'll put the King James Version up there, and then he'll put the NIV over here. See, I like that. But don't just shut the other one out and just bring the other one in, because I got a little doubts about it. But that's okay. Here we have in Philippians 1 and 27, if you read it, the NIV, it says, whatsoever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So, going back to 27, only let your conversation be as becomes the gospel of Christ. NIV says, whatsoever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So they're not wrong about everything. All right. Jesus never said much about conduct so much as he said it. He didn't say the words sometimes, but he said it. He was against all flesh, all works of the flesh. He might have not come out and said homosexuality, but it's works of the flesh. And that's the thing that we strive to overcome, is the flesh. I got this Holy Ghost dwelling within me, within my soul and within my spirit. But I'm still dealing with this sinful flesh. And that's what we strive to overcome. And if you say, well, it just doesn't matter, you find that in the Bible for me and I'll preach it. But it does matter. Amen. If you really read the Gospels, most people that make those remarks, you know, they don't know two words of the Gospel. They just assume. This is a dangerous thing to assume. Amen. This is life everlasting. Amen. You know, one day this little bit of time is like a vapor here a little while, then it's gone. And then you're going to look back and you're in eternity. You're going to say, what did that little stuff matter? Amen. I'm not saying those little things will take you to hell. I'm saying this, if you have the Holy Ghost within you, there's something calling you to a higher place. Amen. It's calling you to a higher place. I have never yet got up and said, you're going to hell. Not one time. But if my teaching don't give you that indication sometime that you might be, amen, I'm not teaching the truth. But the only way I'm going to go to hell is I don't have Christ Jesus. That's my salvation. What about these works? What about them? Are they necessary? Well, I'll say this. I'm not going to question Jesus. I'm not going to question the apostles. Amen. The Bible said that they gave them the gift to know the Spirit. Amen. To know the Word of God. They know more than I know. I'm going to take their word for it. Because it's the truth. I'm not going to make like I'm some high person that I can take and do what I want to do with the Bible. I'm not going to do that. You can do that if you want to. Amen. They'll take baptism. They'll say, well, I'd rather believe Jesus than Peter. I'd rather believe them both. I just soon believe both of them. Amen. They get into some places that I don't know why they can't see it. Well, I do. It goes against their bylaws. It goes against the things that they have laid down. They become comfortable in this life that they have, and they don't want anymore. So they always use their bylaws as excuse. Well, we can't go there. This is who we are. Well, who are you? Who am I? When we get past the Gospels, we get into the Acts of the Apostles. Amen. That was our action, and that was their faith in action. Amen. We get into all the teachings of Paul and Peter and all of them that they wrote down. Amen. Their words to live by. There was in Samuel, go through this quick. In Samuel chapter 13, Saul had got himself into a mess. The Bible says he was in a strait. That means he was in real trouble. Amen. The Philistines had come in and all around him, and all his men had scattered. He became very impatient, but he was supposed to meet with Samuel. Was I calling Samuel Saul? Okay. Anyway, he was supposed to meet with Samuel at a given time in a given place. They was going to offer up some burnt sacrifices and get the will of God. He came there, and guess what? No Samuel. He took it on himself to offer up that sacrifice. And you know what they say about that today? Well, good for him. His heart was in the right place. Doesn't matter where your heart is. If it's not in the truth that's in God's word, it's wrong. So he did. He offered up that sacrifice. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as he got done, here comes Samuel. Sometimes we just don't wait on God. We'll go ahead and make a move. We don't pray about it. We don't study about it. We don't do nothing. We don't try to find out what God's way is. You know, we just go. And so he got into that position. And then Samuel said, what hast thou done? He was in a mess then. He lost his whole kingdom right then and there. Amen. But you know, we're not always right about everything. Some things we just do, and we just do them. But you know, what I ain't trying to tell everybody be perfect in everything you do. Just let your mindset. The Bible says this mind that be in Christ Jesus be also in you. And we've got everything we need. You say, well, I'm not too sure. Well, I can show you right where you can find out. If you really want to know, you know, if you believe in holiness or you don't believe in holiness, well, how come you don't believe in holiness? Most time you ask them that, I just don't believe it. It just don't work. But now, I've been under preachers that took things way too far. You couldn't be saved if you wanted to. I felt more saved before I got in church. That's true. Everything I did was wrong. That was all right if he would explain it to me, but you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell. Well, I made up my mind I was going to stay with God no matter what. So I tried to do what they wanted me to do. But you know what? I looked behind me. Wasn't nobody else there. Pastoralship is hard, hard, hard work. I would last about 3 days. It's just that they got all the shoulder, all of these things, people with all their different ideals. That's reading the Bible tells us to be in one mind, one accord, thinking the same things. Pastor probably say, oh my God, I wish that was true. May not be true, but it's still what the Bible says. But God left an organization of sorts in the disciples. Now listen, I come out of a church that preached against organizations, any organization. And we come out of the UPC and went into that church, and they never did accept us. We was dirtied by the UPC. But you know what? Now here's how I believe is how things. We don't know how they lived right back then. I don't know how long their gowns were they wore. I don't know what they wore. I don't know nothing. But we have to take where we're at today, and I believe, and this is what I read about the apostolic movement. They got together, the men of God, and they prayed and they fasted, and they found out what would be the best to teach the people, to separate them from the world. You know, because the Bible teaches that. So that's what, they get together and they pray and they do the best they can, and this is what they come up with, and then people see what there is. Either they take it or leave it. And believe me, the apostolic movement is the only one's left. Pretty much the only one that's left. But anyway, I got one more thing to make here before. And Philippians 1 and 28, and nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them evident token of perdition, but to your salvation, that of God. The NIV, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign of, to them, they will be destroyed, but to you, they will be saved. I mean, you will be saved. You know, I find that right here, the thing that brought me to God. You say, well, how's that? Well, what this is, to the sinner, we are the manifested token of proof. When we remain steadfast in spite of persecution. You know what brought me to God? My aunt and uncle that was Holy Ghost filled, holiness people. I looked at all the rest of them, my eyes just darted here and there. But when I seen them, boom. And they was my rock. If they had went back, you know, the world don't want to see you to be like them. Amen. Why? Because you're the manifest token of proof to them. That we're all they see. Amen. And the Bible says, come out from among them, be ye a separated people. Now, we're teaching on living the faith. UPC gave me that. So we're living the faith. Philippians 1 and 29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Things aren't ever always going to be easy. I'm not. You know what? I've failed so many times, I quit counting them. It's just this flesh. It's a struggle. Paul hadn't took care of it. But we are the bride. You know what? My wife, I don't know, she might have repented of it more than one time, but when she chose to follow me, she chose to suffer with me. Right? Everything that I do, I suffer with, she suffers with. And that's the thing that we are in Jesus Christ. decide to follow me, if it's right or wrong, it was the way that we went. Verse 130, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. We saw all those conflicts in Jesus. And he was God's chosen. He was God's very own son, his only begotten son that suffered and died upon the cross. But if I can get anything into us today, be a token of proof. Strength and consistency. He is our example, and our strength in him is, and we manifest token of proof to others. You're a token of strength. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hope I helped somebody today, but at this time, we'll just, as they play, we'll just find a place of